Hello and welcome along to a very special festive edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast, a Christmas cracker, if you will. I'm delighted to be joined by the great minds of the game that are Rory DeLargy and Frank Hickey. Gentlemen, felicitations of the season to you both, shall I say. Rory, how are things?
Not too bad. I have a house full of children and animals, so I'm slightly nervous about what's going to happen, but we're reasonably well set.
Good stuff.
And
good
stuff. Looking forward to this.
Great. And Frank, you're keeping well. This is a busy time of year for traders and fans of Grub, both of which you are.
Yeah, particularly busy day of compiling ahead of me. And plenty of eating to be done then once I get over today. So have the tracks of bottoms on, you know, plenty of room to expand into.
I did have a question as a connoisseur of kind of good sandwiches. What's your go-to Stephen's Day kind of compilation?
I'm a connoisseur of desserts, sort of.
I would be like
roulade, pavlova. Yeah. Like I'm like the Tom Dorley of roulade.
It's your claim to fame. That's on your LinkedIn page, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very good. Lovely stuff. Well, we've got lots to get through and I'm delighted to be joined by the lads. Hopefully we'll be getting some great insight from them. But before we get stuck in to the racing, just a couple of quick bits to call out for you. The Paddy Power Christmas quiz is now available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. The link is in the show notes. Frank, I believe you made an appearance, not just an appearance, but a stellar appearance. Fran Berry says you were very well handicapped.
Yeah, look, but I carrying a bit of weight and always come on for the run, like, you know. I did okay. People will see it. I probably overestimated myself in one round and narrowly missed out. It was a good effort, but come here, you get nothing for effort, really, do you?
It sounds like you kind of outed yourself as a complete geek, though. You were just focused on victory. There was no kind of
not a geek. I am very competitive in all sorts of life, particularly like, you know, quizzes, sports. Like you only have to work soccer competition. I am regularly warned not to start fights every year. I get a little bit carried away.
And it wouldn't be like a Cork man to have a short fuse.
Yeah, the lads from Clues wouldn't be my biggest fans. That would be.
Oh, really? Really? They still have a couple of hickey handshakes and they're scorched into their memory.
Oh, yeah. We had a little bit of a battle already a couple of years ago. In the UCD 5-a-side.
Very good. Well, you can watch that quiz on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. As I said, the link is in the show notes. Don't forget as well, Paddy's Pick 5 is back for Stephen's Day, worth $100,000, which would be a great Christmas present for the lucky winner. And there'll be bonus 10 grand Pick 5 rounds on the 27th, 8th and 9th. So there's an opportunity to get involved throughout the Christmas period. Well, without further ado, it is time to get stuck into the action. Ruby Walsh was supposed to join us, but got tied up in other things. But he's very kindly sent us across some thoughts and he'll be intermittently a light dusting of Ruby Walsh throughout the show. And he had one to kick things off in the 12:10 at Kempton, just to get St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day off to a flyer. Let's listen to what he had to say.
I suppose a good start any day is very, very important. And at 12:10 at Kempton, the first race on the King George card, I fancy Rare Edition for Charlie Longson and Sam Twiston Davis. I was really taken with this fella's second win, which was at Doncaster, his first win over hurdles. I think he's a really good horse and I'll definitely be with him.
Definitely be with him. So says Ruby Walsh. Thank you, Ruby. We're going to move on and chat about the 12:45 at Kempton on St. Stephen's Day, which is the Ladbrokes Long Walk Hurdle, the Grade 1, and a Champ and Paisley Park reoppose Rory DeLargy. Could Miranda separate them, maybe?
I wouldn't rule any of them out in this contest, to be perfectly honest. Miranda is a course and distance winner and suited by this kind of track. And as I've said on this podcast before, I'm not a massive fan of the stars of the staying division, if you can call them that. Champ and Paisley Park are both veterans now. Champ looks good on his day. And in fairness, he was pretty game in holding off Paisley Park last time out. But I don't think they're a vintage bunch, to be perfectly honest. And that's been proven over the last year or so. I think the surprise in this, I mean, I guess this race was opened up again. I kind of thought Time Hill would rock up here, but he runs in a novice chase instead, which seemed to take a strange decision. I'm inclined to be against him. Not So Sleepy's an interesting runner stepping up to 3 miles for the first time. The vast majority of his form over hurdles has come over two, but he stays very, very well in the flat. He's been placed twice on the Cesaro, which over 2.25 miles. And he'd be an interesting one if on a going day. But I'm going to take a chance on Goshen here. I've always thought he would stay further than 2.5. He's got plenty of critics, Goshen. But there are a couple of keys to him. I thought he might take the chasing, but he was awful at Ascot on his reappearance. Absolutely hated it. Took an extra stride at every fence. Just, looked a horse with no confidence over those obstacles. Was much improved, reverting to hurdles last time, beating Bruin up a storm. Again, he's a horse who stayed well as a three-year-old on the flat. He stayed a mile and three quarters very well. And although that's no guarantee that you'll stay 3 miles over hurdles, he's never looked like a short runner. So I think the step up to 3 miles, obviously he might need to be nursed through it to some degree, but I think he's got at least as much talent as Champ or Paisley Park. And I think he's got a fair chance of staying here. So Goshen makes more appeal to me than either of those. And I think, although Champ made the running last time out, I don't think they're going to do that with him this time. And so it's up to either Goshen or Not So Sleepy to do that. Not So Sleepy used to be a bit of a tearaway, but he hasn't really, they didn't go, I thought he'd make the running in the Fighting Fifth at Newcastle last time out, but he was held up in midfield in the small field that day, and stepping up and trip, they're probably going to do the same thing with him this time. So that allows Goshen to make the running if he wants, and I think that'll suit him. If he can, I'd like to see Goshen ridden reasonably aggressively over the first two or three hurdles, then maybe settling it down a little bit, and hopefully using his speed at the end of the race as well. And I think he's the bet on this at the prices.
Very, very interesting. Of all the things you were going to say, I was not expecting that. Frank Hickey, take it away. It's a long walk.
I'm with Rory here. Look, Champ is an excellent record, fresh. You wouldn't be certain he'd back up the run at Newbury. He did win this race last year when he was running at Ascot, and then disappointed in the Cleve hurdle a month later at Cheltenham, when he had Paisley Park in front of him and he had Paisley Park behind him at Ascot. So he definitely went backwards. Paisley Park is pushing on himself. I just think Goshen's worth chancing. He's won over mile six on the flat and soft ground. Look, his five-year-old season was difficult enough for him, but it can just be very difficult for those horses, coming from juvenile hurdles into open company, and they struggle, and they take out his run over fence at Ascot. As Rory said, he hated it. He didn't hate it whatsoever. Like, he was only touched off by Tritonic on the flat at Goodwood in October in a class two handicap over a mile and a half, which probably tiny bit sharp for him. And then he's won nicely in the Carl hurdle. Look, Bruin up a storm wasn't great. It wasn't probably the greatest renewal of the race, but he was very strong to finish that day. But I think 3 miles around Kempton could suit. Like, some of his best runs have come Wincanton, another flat right-handed track. There is a bit of rain forecast, which will help. And I think there's every chance to stay 3 miles. And I don't think this is a vintage renewal of the race either. So I think if he stays, he's a really big chance.
Interesting. Very interesting. That's caught me off guard, I must admit. 120 at Kempton is the next race we're going to look at. It's the Ladbrokes Cottle Staren Obstacle Chase. A grade one, five go here, are currently scheduled to go. And McFabulous, Frank, has been back in the groove already this season. Two pretty good wins over fences so far.
This is probably his. Like, to be honest, in the original entries, I would have liked Ballygriffin College for Dan Skelton. He's obviously skipped the race potentially because might want softer ground, and they're going with the mare instead. It probably leaves it open to McFabulous. Would I be piling into Milazzo? No, I wouldn't. Gino Bello is fairly useful as well, even though I wasn't overly blown away by his run on Exeter the last day, when effectively it was a match, but effectively he just had to jump around as City Chief made an awful mistake early. I was in the back foot from then. I think McFabulous would be tough to beat, but I wouldn't be rushing to back him either at the price.
Where are you going? Time Hill hasn't a hope of getting anywhere closer to him.
I think Time Hill and Goshen would have a very interesting, chase race. They're both, I hate Time Hill's jumping at Newbury as well. I thought it was terrible. He shouldn't be running over fences. I'd agree with Rory, what Rory said earlier. He should be back running over hurdles in that long walk, but I couldn't have him. Couldn't have Time Hill.
Rory, what do you think here?
I agree with Frank that the horse I was looking forward to here was Ballygriffin Cottage, who looks like a really good prospect. And it's interesting that that Dan Skelton is going with the mare Gallia De Litto instead. Now, the key here is whether there's any further rain. There's rain around today at Kempton. The forecast I looked at yesterday suggested they'd have loads of rain before and during Boxing Day. But that seems to change a little bit. And if there's not that much rain, then it will suit McFabulous. Now, my view on him has always been the same. He's a horse, for me, although he's won on soft ground, he wants good ground. You know, he's always going to be a better horse on a sound surface. It was verging on firm when he won the Persian War at Chepstow a few seasons back. And he's always looked a chaser to me. He's obviously pulled up in his chase debut because Harry Cobden thought that he went short and he pulled him up thinking he'd lost his action. But he's been very impressive both starts since. Obviously, Time Hill couldn't give him much of a race at Newbury because the difference in their jumping was huge. But I wouldn't want to be piling into McFabulous if the ground did soften up considerably. Good to soft at the moment is fine, but if they do get more rain, that would be a concern for me. If it stays away, he should be fine. Gallia De Litto, her form is all on soft ground. So I would be inclined to back her if they do get more rain and it turns genuinely soft. If not, then this should be left to McFabulous. But it's a difficult race to punt in now, you know, given that you're sort of gambling on the weather as much as anything else.
Yeah, the latest weather forecast I have there is 13 mils on Christmas Day for Kempton.
So. Yeah. But I say it's been changing a bit, so it's not the kind of forecast you can absolutely rely on. But if they get 13 mils on Christmas Day, then it'll be softer than ideal for McFabulous. He might get away with it, but I wouldn't be backing him at odds on to do so.
Okay, very interesting weather warning to from the Horse's Mouth listeners. And it sounds like maybe Ballygriffin Cottage is one for the tracker, maybe, as well, mentioned by both of them.
He's definitely going to make up into better chaser. Like, he was fourth in the Albert Bart last year. And, you know, it seems to say he wants soft ground, but he did win 2 points on good yielding round in May 2021. So, I don't know, maybe he's not quite as ground versatile, but he's definitely got plenty of ability and be one of the more interesting. There's not too many of them, but he'd be one of the more interesting British novice chasers.
His jumping was superb at Haydock. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Beauport, who didn't jump, you know, as well as he might on that occasion, but he was always on the back foot because Ballygriffin Cottage was sailing along and saving ground in the air, and that makes a big difference. So he looks pretty exciting to me.
Yeah, with only one run over fences, you forget he does have 3 points to his name, so he's a relatively hardened chaser. So he's one to watch out for sure. Onwards we go, 1:55 at Kempton. The Ladbrokes Christmas Hurdle, as we hear from the hound howling, dog barking for Constitution Hill. It's a case of, oh, come all ye faithful, the second coming has arrived. Rory De Largy, even the dog was excited by the mention of Constitution Hill. I mean, that's the appeal this horse has.
Well, he does have that reputation, does Bogey, that mention of superstars tends to get him going. Isn't that right, Bogey? Yes, he says. Yeah, this is a race to savor, really, isn't it? Rather than a race to look for angles in. Constitution Hill looked absolutely astonishing at Newcastle. He did it so easily, but his jumping was almost frightening to watch. You know, he was so low and so fast at his hurdles that, you know, that's the marker of a proper champion. I talked about this a few times before. You get a lot of very good hurdlers who are a little bit careful in the air or spend a little bit of time in the air. And, you can't go to Cheltenham for a champion hurdle and do that. You tend to get punished for it. And Constitution Hill looks to have the perfect makeup for that race. He should really outclass these. Again, if you get an inch of rain beforehand, then Metier might be an interesting one for the forecast, but he wants it genuinely heavy. And really this, and you know, you could argue that Soul Royal's got half a chance here, at least of filling the forecast spot, but he doesn't want soft ground either. So it really should be a case of Constitution Hill winning and Epitone filling the frame again. There's no great punting angle into this, but sometimes at Christmas time, you've got to turn on the TV and enjoy something. This should be one of those occasions.
Rory, can I indulge me here a little bit, as you are one of the great students of the game, and for maybe younger listeners who maybe don't have the kind of backlog of great hurdlers down through time. And I find this conversation maybe a little bit tedious at times, like a comparison of how good he is against generations. But in the grand scheme, are we looking at a potential superstar? Like, I know his performances are, they're hard to measure because the field's a bit smaller or whatever. Like, he won a Supreme very, very well. Like, can we kind of maybe distill how good he is yet? Does he still need to do more?
What he needs to do in terms of establishing his greatness is to keep coming back and winning races. There are two ways of looking at how good horses are. There are ratings, which are, you know, people can say that they're very subjective, but fundamentally the way we rate races these days means we get a fairly good handle on getting a rating on a horse that stands up historically. And Constitution Hill is really not far off Night Nurse. There's, you know, I've got no issue saying that. The thing about Night Nurse and Monksfield and Sea Pigeon was that they were warriors who came out and beat each other year in, year out, and kept coming back for more. And you can say the same about Istabrak, and you can say the same particularly about Hurricane Fly. You know, he's a horse who got knocked quite a lot by the English, because he didn't massively impress when he came over to the UK in his early days. But the fact is, he kept winning Grade Ones, and that's what Constitution Hill needs to do if he's going to supersede some of those stars of yesteryear. He needs to show himself to be a warrior. He needs to be almost needs to get beaten, and then come back and prove himself again. That's why horses like, looking at the same stable, Sprinter Sacra is a horse that people will always talk very highly of, because not only was he brilliant and untouchable for a while, but he sort of dropped away and then came back and almost put up one of his best ever performances when winning that champion chase after he'd been finished in the eyes of many. That's what makes a great horse. It's what gets horses into your heart more than into your notebook. And Constitution Hill is already there in terms of what he's achieved. But of course, the question will always be asked, what's he beaten and how many times has he beaten them? And I don't really look forward to a scenario where he runs twice or three times a season. And we wonder what might have been if he'd met one of the greats. And that's a similar issue we have with See You Then. See You Then will never be remembered now as a great hurdler, even though he won three champions in most people's eyes, because he turned up once a year for a warm-up a week before the champion hurdle or 2 weeks before the champion hurdle, and then he won the champion hurdle and he was packed away again for the next season. And that made an awful lot of sense. He was a very fragile horse. But this is the difference between brilliance in terms of rating and greatness in terms of where people put you on a pedestal.
I think that's you've explained it beautifully there. And I think greatness may be, so you're suggesting sealing the deal towards greatness might be aggressive campaigning and perhaps even a couple of trips to Ireland and just let's let him run and see how good he is.
Indeed. And unfortunately, 40 years ago, that was very much the norm. And we can knock Nicky Henderson for this, but it's the way the game is going that people don't want to be that that adventurous anymore, and they want to avoid defeat as much as anything. Hopefully Michael Buckley will take a different view with him, and we will see him in Ireland and we will see him more often. He doesn't seem to take much out of himself, so there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be fairly aggressively campaigned.
Speaking of greatness, Frank Hickey takes great, real, recognising real. Would you echo some of Rory's comments there on Constitution Hill? He is electric.
There's always like the worry that maybe, you know, the Supreme was, you know, him at his very best in the race, fell apart a little bit. But I think the Fighting Fifth proved that, you know, he's just a seriously, seriously good horse. Like, what is going to make him, you know, one of the best ever will be if he comes up against another very good horse. I don't think he'll do that this season. But I think if you're looking for him to really prove himself, you'd be hoping that maybe, like, you know, if Fafel Vega is an impressive winner, say the Supreme, and goes and stays over hurdles next year, that you have the two of them face off. And, you know, maybe then he could generate, you know, a massive number altogether if he could put away Fafel Vega. Look, I'm just speculating in the future, but like, I think it would definitely, you know, help build him up a little bit if he bumped into another top horse. Because I think, you know, look at it, it must be fairly unlikely now that Honeysuckle will run against him at Cheltenham in March. So you're just wondering what will actually be there to take him on. Probably just Stateman and maybe Vauban. So yeah, it'll be hard for him to, you know, it'll be hard for him to build on anything that he's done already. Like,
indeed, indeed. Righto, we'll move on to the 2:30 at Kempton. It is the Ladbrokes King George, and once again, a young man by the name of Ruby Walsh. I think he won a few King Georges. Not sure. Think he might have. Has shared his thoughts on the race with us, and we're going to hear them right now.
And at 2:30 in Kempton, of course, is the King George. It's a hard race. Brave Man's Game, Hit Man, Long Presse, a High Senior even would be some people's choices. I don't know. The more I look at it, and because I'm going to have to make a call at some stage, I'm coming down on the side of Long Presse for Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch.
Long Presse for Ruby Walsh in the King George. Interesting to see Envoy Allen declared Rachel Blackmore making the trip on St. Stephen's Day. Frank, what did you make of this year's King George in terms of quality before you give us our selection?
Yeah, I think it's quite, you know, it's not bad. I'm delighted that nine have stood around. You know, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago you were looking at thinking, oh God, this could be a 5-runner race. Or, but yeah, look, maybe it's not a vintage renewal, but I think it's a very interesting race. And look, my view on it would be Brave Man's Game is obviously, we all know, been lining up for this ever since he won the Cahill Star last year. This is his race. I just have a worry about him that, you know, what's there under the bonnet if he has to battle? And I don't think there's much there. I think he'd have to win, you know, relatively snugly to win. And I just think this race is too hot. You know, he's disappointed a few times, like Aintree. You know, was lifeless enough considering he'd missed Cheltenham. For me, Long Press is the most likely winner. I thought he was good in the rehearsal chase. And obviously, look, his form last year, very progressive, winning at the Cheltenham Festival. Look, maybe Aintree was a step too far. But for me, I might be a little bit insane here, but I'd give a High Senior one last chance. I just think it's very interesting that Lucinda Russell's, you know, willing to let him take his chance here, considering, you know, he has been a bit disappointing the last twice. Look, Aintree was a little bit better, but he did jump finally out to his right. Maybe they feel like, you know, they've got him back to his best. And just the prices, you're looking there, like the last time I looked last night, there was some 20-1 about. And you just compare him in price to Long Press in Brave Man's Game, and he has form tying in with both of them. Obviously second to Long Press at Cheltenham, and then reversed that form at Aintree when he was impressive. Like, if he was on his A game, he's right in there with them. I just thought it was interesting they were letting him take his chance. Look, going maybe right-handed might actually suit him considering the way he's jumped, but you'd be hoping he'd jump better. Look, if he jumps like the way he did at Newbury, even going right-handed, he has no chance. But I just thought it was worth taking a chance on him. I don't think that Aintree run was as bad as it looked. Not bad, but I think Nobody Yates is a big player in the Gold Cup, and I really like that Sounds Russian. You know, maybe for a big handicap this year as well. So I think that race might be better than people think. And just the prices, yeah. I'll trust Lucinda Russell's judgment. I think she's a very good trainer, particularly of staying chasers, and I'll give a High Senior one last go.
Rory, the elusive 13 mils, as we were speaking about earlier, could that have an impact on this race?
It certainly could, yeah. I mean, it's and again, you know, we're in this boat of not entirely sure whether it's going to fall or not. But soft ground makes this a real test of stamina. People talk about Kempton being a sharp test, but they go fast here. And every year you see horses who are top class at 2.5 miles, trainers thinking, sharp 3 miles at Kempton will suit ideally. They never get it done. They never, ever get it done. You've got to stay the trip, and you've got to be able to lie up there. So it punishes slow horses, it punishes non-stayers, and it punishes dubious jumpers. And that's obviously the worry for a High Senior. He didn't jump well here last year behind Brave Man's Game. I've always been a big fan. I take Frank's point that he's a little overpriced because he looked a very unlikely runner here. For a long time. It seems Lucinda Russell has changed her mind almost at the last minute. She was interviewed at AIR yesterday and said they decided they were going to declare him. And until that, they said the role in Merrick was the race for him, which it probably is. I mean, Weatherby would probably suit him a better than Kempton. I know you could say he jumped. I mean, he does jump right to correct himself. He also jumps in a horrible shape. The first two fences at the entry last time were just hideous. And he's done very well then to get into a reasonable rhythm after that and produce a really good performance. You know, his form of the entry is very good. I just, the fences seem to come up too quick for him last year. If he meets a fence right, he can be quick over it. He can cover a lot of ground at his fences, but if he doesn't meet one right, he's terrible. And that's just, you know, that's not the ideal scenario for a King George. You can't meet any fences wrong. And the one way of getting the best out of him here at Kempton is to go as fast as he can. And that might just get plenty of these in trouble, but whether he's going to be ridden like that, I don't know. I still retain a bit of faith in him, but I would have thought this was the wrong call at this stage from given his jumping. Lucinda says, Derek Fox, who's been riding at home, says he's come on a lot from the entry, which is surprising to me. I thought he'd have been hard fit at the entry. So he may well have come on again, and it might be because of the jockey's confidence that they've actually changed their mind about where to go with him. And it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. I do agree that L'Empressé is a horse to beat here. I have a similar view to Frank about Brave Man's Game. And the thing to say about him is he's a smashing horse, Brave Man's Game. But there's always been this idea that there's a load under the bonnet with him. And there clearly isn't, because every time he's been asked a big question, there has been no more improvement. So what he does is he goes out there and shows you everything he can do. And I thought he rather fell in at Wetherby. In the end, his jumping was great. But the thing about his jumping, everyone talks about what a wonderful jumper he is. He doesn't actually gain much ground in the air. You know, he makes a good shape. He's quick enough from A to B. But you don't see him. Look at the Wetherby race and just see, is he stealing a length from his rivals? He's not really stealing a length in the air. So while he's a lovely horse to watch over a fence, I want to see a horse who jumps in a way that actually makes them ground. And puts others under pressure. And he's never really been a horse who can get others off the bridle at the top level. And while he deserves his place here, I just think he's overrated on the form he showed at Wetherby. And his form over the last two seasons has been tremendously consistent, but there's never really been a suggestion that there's a stone more improvement in him, or £10 or whatever he needs. And he needs to improve to win this. And I just don't really see that, for all he's clearly suited by the track. I'm not saying he's got no chance of winning, but I wouldn't have him in his favourite, which he has been. I think he's just been a little bit talked up too much. The one that I've gone for here, again, in terms of value, back to Matty Post, is Royal Pagai. Now, the more rain that falls for him, the better, but he's perfectly good and good to soft ground. He's a course and distance winner. That was in Handicap Company a couple of seasons ago. Hopefully he'll be ready for this. That's a slight question mark, because although Venetia's go very well after a break, he's had a bit of an issue with his withers, which is something that's been a problem before. He's now right. I did speak to Joe Chambers about this a while ago, and he was a bit lukewarm about running at Kempton because he thought it was going to be a big ask first time out in the season. But as time's gone on, they've come round to it. I hope that's a sign that he's going well at home. He doesn't have much to find. I wouldn't want to back him much short. I think he's 16s currently, something like that. I'd maybe have him in at 12s for this. I wouldn't be piling into him at single figures, but I've had a bit of 25s in the anti-post market, and I think he will run well. I don't think there's a huge amount between a lot of these. I'm not entirely sure how much L'Empressé had to improve to win the rehearsal last time. I think he fundamentally had to show his form from last season to win that. But he probably will find a bit more this season as a second season chaser anyway. I would rather Charlie George was riding mine, but clearly with both of them going there, that was never going to be the case. L'Empressé deserves to be favourite, but Tom Scudamore has won on Royal Pagai before. So I think he's a sporting each way bet. I think he will enjoy this more than a few, and hopefully that'll take him into the frame. It'd be a pleasant surprise if he wins. But then again, the last two winners have been 28-1 and 20-1. So this hasn't been the kindest race for short price favourites. So Royal Pagai fits the bill.
Royal Pagai for Rory De Largy in the King George. That is Kempton's ITV races done and dusted. We're going to take a quick look at the other race on ITV is the 135 at Wetherby. It is the William Hill Roland Merrick Handicap Chase. Shan Blue topping the market currently. Frank Hickey, what did you like at Wetherby?
I just mentioned him earlier. Sounds Russian. We did that National Hunt preview back in, was it September, October? And I was saying this one potentially could, you know, turn into a Grand National horse. I thought very impressive when winning the Edinburgh Gin handicap at Kelso, beating Iright. Nearly went around on the bridle. And that was off a mark of 150. He was an improver last year. He won three in the bounce round this time last year. Was narrowly beaten by Dusart at the Air Scottish National Festival, beaten half a length there. He was only getting 2 pounds off Dusart. And I thought he ran a really credible race in the Many Clouds. I thought that might be a step too far from, but he's finished fourth. He's only about a length behind Dashiell Drasher, who was second. And he's still on a mark of 157. Look, I don't know how relevant it is, but in the last 10 years, 9 winners have carried 11 stone or higher, suggesting the class does come to the fore in the Roan Merrick. And yeah, he's only a 7-year-old and he's fast improving. And yeah, I like him. I think he's a fair enough price. The last time I looked, he was in around the 9-10-1 mark. And yeah, I think he'll go close. I think he'll hit the frame anyway.
Rory?
I also like Sanj Rushen as a project. And I think he's got a fair chance here, but it has to be said. You look at the weights they're carrying. It's all very well saying Sanj Rushen still looks reasonably handicapped off 157, and then you look at Shan Blue, who would have won the Charlie Hall by half the track last season, and he's 148. Now I know things did not go for him. I mean, he had a really tough time after that. He injured himself in that fall. He then came back in the Ryanair. Which would have been a very, very tough race to come back in after that kind of break. And he ran an absolute stormer at Aintree on his final start when second to Sam Brown. And Sam Brown, you know, was definitely a well-handicapped horse at 147. He was placed in the Charlie Hall this year. That's, you know, that's very good form and makes him look well-handicapped at 148. But what makes him look especially well-handicapped is the fact that, you know, had he won the Charlie Hall last year, but he fell too early for the handicapper to change his mark. Had he won that by the distance, he looked like he would have won it. He'd have gone up a stone, and he's very well in. He goes very well fresh, and this looks like an incredibly good starting point for him. This is a smashing race. This is one of the best races of the entire festive period. But there are a lot of horses in here that I wouldn't entirely trust, or horses who've got to the sort of the top of their handicap marks already, and I don't know what price he's going to be, Shan Blue. He's going to be reasonably short. But he'd need to be something like 6-5 or shorter for me not to want to back him. He's just, it's too generous a handicap mark, and it seems to be an obvious race for him. And obviously Harry Skelton can't ride him, but Sean Quinlan's a terrific substitute for him at this track. Rides Weatherby extremely well. Rides all the northern tracks well, quite frankly, to Sean. And I think he's going to take a hell of a lot of beating.
Excellent stuff. That is ITV on St. Stephen's Air Boxing Day covered. So we're going to take a quick look at some of the Irish action now. And Ruby is back again. There is a grade one down at Limerick. It's the Guinness Fahine Novice Chase. Fiber scheduled to go to post. Jerry Kalam currently tops the betting. Kilcrut, adamantly chosen, authorised art. And Aaron's Day make up the rest of the field. Let's have a listen to hear what Ruby Walsh likes in the Fahine Novice Chase at Limerick.
Limerick's Features event comes up at 2:40 as the Fahine Novice Chase. Jerry Kalam of Gordon Elliott's will be all the range with Jordan Gateford riding him. And I did really fancy this horse all week, but the small field, only 5 runners. I think it's going to be a real tactical affair. And I think Kilcrut under Sean O'Keefe could just have too many gears for Jerry Kalam.
Ruby Walsh taking on the favourite in the grade one down in Limerick. Good action in Leopardstown as well. The Knight Frank juvenile hurdle, the grade two at 110 and 210, 220 rather, is the racing post novice chase. Frank, what did you like in Ireland? Anything in the big races or any handicappers to keep an eye out for?
I have a few. There's no tip, but in the 12 o'clock, the maiden hurdle at Leopardstown, high definition goes over hurdles. Very interesting. Look, I haven't looked properly there at the final decks, but no doubt Willie will have something very interesting. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of level high definition can run to. Obviously, rated 117 in the flat. Nearly won the Tassos Gold Cup under a fine ride from Ryan Moore last year. Yeah, he's definitely interesting. Frank Knight, I just would be... I wouldn't be steaming into Lassie Mount. I thought that... Look, she was obviously extremely impressive at Fairy House, but that race wasn't strongly run. I think she was just like the horse with the best turn of foot. And, you know, she also displayed that. And I just think if it's a more strongly run race, it might bring a few more into it. So I just wouldn't be getting mad carried away with her. In Limerick, I'd be going against Ruby here. I think Jerry Collins is an absolute superstar in the making. He's 6 from 6. He's won a point. He's won 2 bumpers, 2 hurdles, and his beginner's chase. You know, he won his maiden hurdle over 2.5 mile in soft round at Down Royal, followed up over 2.7 at Thurles in a novice race on yielding ground. Now, that track and that ground wouldn't have been ideal for him, but he still managed to find a way to win. The form is relatively solid. Like, he beat Ida's Boy, Touchdown Warrior, and the Gaffer. He's gone off odds on every start bar his beginner's chase when he went off 6-5. I thought he jumped relatively well. And it looked a decent enough race. Like, Bron was second that day. He was a grade 2 winning novice hurdler. Tenzing was in there. Sean Truce, Coccolino, Freedom to Dream, Sam Profile. He beat them all readily. To me, like, I'd agree, Ruby, that the trip, like 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs, might be a touch on the sharp side for him. But as long as the rain gets into the ground and it's, you know, Limerick soft or heavy, I think he'll get away with it. I think he's really classy. He's, again, one we mentioned in the National Chase. He's my novice chaser to follow. He's one of the, maybe, I wouldn't be one for having too many anti-post bets for Cheltenham, but I have backed him for the Brown Advisory. I think he's really going to come into his own over 3 miles. But yeah, I think he's really good and I wouldn't be taking him on at all. Also on the Limerick card, the 208, the 2.5 mile Mayor's Handicap Hurdle. It's all about Eve. Cost 75 grand, 3-year-old, related to Balthazar King and For Good Measure. Obviously, we're both stares. Won this card in 2020 when easily winning the bumper on this card on heavy ground. Won her hurdles debut here last November over 2 miles. That form is solid enough. The likes of the Greek and Lim Pertinet were behind. Wasn't good enough for the demolition hurdle on this card last year when pulled up, but was sent off just 15-2 in a race that was won by Daily Tiger. Your choice of word, the Gaffer, you tread also in there. Look, last year's reappear, or the last run at Punchestown was just a reappearance, last of 6, but again, that was too hot. But making her handicap debut here off America for 109, I think she's very well handicapped. I wouldn't be surprised if she was very well backed and she could take a bit of beating. Just I mentioned Down Royal, you have the really good Hunter Chase at 2.33. Again, no tip, but you've got the likes of Brain Power, Snow Falcon, the Storyteller, Vosley. Vosley currently anti-post favourite for the Hunter Chase at Cheltenham. That'll be one to keep an eye on. And just finally, at Fontwell, at 11.57.
Yes, here we go.
Ooh, sorry, here look, this is not... This is not
a... I was holding my breath there, trying to... We just have to get to the... Let's get to the goal.
Yeah, this is just one for your multis. Probably will be a short enough price, but Javega, a point winner in Tralee in May 2021, authorised half-brother to list the winner in France and is from the family of Javega. Well-backed in hurdles day, but Lingfield over 2 miles soft ground. Very impressive, winning by 13 lengths. But that form has taken a few knocks, but he looks capable of better. Gary Moore won this race the last twice it's been run, and he looks above average. I think he'd be one if you're looking for your little multis on St. Stephen's Day. He'd be one to be banging in there anyway.
Never let it be said that Frank Hickey doesn't put the work in. Even though there's 100 million meetings on Stephen's Day, he still had a look at Fontwell. Fair play to you, Francis. Rory, anything in Ireland or elsewhere around the UK that you're liking the look of on Stephen's Day currently?
Not an awful lot, I have to say. I haven't had a great chance to look at the races post Dex, so I don't want to be digging out anything that's I've not had a proper look at. So I'll sit on that for the time being. But no doubt there'll be something in the novices handicap chase at Kempton that catches my eye.
Perfect. Right, before we move on to the 27th, I'm going to ask you for your best bet on St. Stephen's Day, one to help the turkey sandwich go down a little bit easier, or the roulade maybe. Frank, what's your best bet on Stephen's Day?
We've no prices, so it's hard to know, but it's all about Eve and the 208, the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle at Limerick. Hoping make it a fair enough price there, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if she's well backed, and I wouldn't be surprised if she does a bit of winning.
This is obviously an audio medium, but I can tell listeners that down Zoom, Frankie, he does have a glint in his eye here, so this could be This could be a Frank Hickey special. Rory, best bet on Stevens's Day, Boxing Day?
I'll particularly be cheering on Royal Pagai, but I don't like putting up horses that I've backed at bigger prices than are available at the moment. So I'll be dull there and say that people are looking for something to rely on and on the resumption of racing. So Shan Blue, I think, just looks in a league of his own in the in terms of handicapping in the Roland Merrick at Weatherby, which is the 135, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely stuff. The 135 at Weatherby is indeed the Roland Merrick. That's Stevens' Day in a nutshell, rather. Onwards we go to the 27th.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
ITV returns on the 27th of December, and the first race we are going to look at is the 12:45. It's the Ladbrokes introductory juvenile hurdle, and no declarations as it stands. But Frank Hickey, what did you make of the shape of this race?
Look, we're obviously guessing with what will run, but look, if Bo Zenith runs, he's going to be very interesting. He beat Blood Destiny on his hurdles debut at Toy back in April. Obviously, Blood Destiny was quite impressive at Cork on his debut for Winnie Mullins there a couple of weeks ago. The third, David de Burley, won at listed level. The fifth one next time out. The sixth was second in a grade one last month, albeit beaten 11 lengths over in France. This horse gone to Gary Moore. And look, I'd say if he even just runs that level again, he'll probably win. But you'd be hoping he might improve again. And he's been one we've laid a little bit of money on for the Triumph Hurdle itself. So obviously, he must be doing well at home.
Interesting. Rory?
I would agree with Frank on that. Bo Zenith is clearly the most interesting horse in the race. The only negative I would give there is that as with the horse that that Frank mentioned at Fontwell, Givega, Gary doesn't tend to wind them up first time when he's got these promising youngsters. He will sort of let them down a little bit and then bring them back, and they will improve a lot for the first run. If they're good enough, with Givega, who was easy to back on debut, they will win anyway. But I would have thought Bo Zenith would improve a fair bit. That hurdles debut, or racecourse debut, came early in April. So he's Gary would be aware he wants this horse to peak in the spring. And he's not liable to be absolutely 100% for this. But he does look... The form has worked out. He does look to have a bit in hand of his rivals on the form that we've seen. And he should be hard to beat, even if he's only 90%.
Lovely stuff. Onwards we go. The 120 at Kempton on the 27th is the Ladbrokes Wayward Lad, novices Jace Grade 2. And there's 8 currently in it, 3 confirmed with jockeys aboard at the moment. Those are Glory and Fortune, Lac de Constance, and Thunder Rock at the time of recording. But I suppose Rory Boot Hill might dominate the top of the market if he goes.
Yeah, there's not a huge amount on the ratings between Boot Hill and let's say Thunder Rock, who was quite impressive winning at Ascot last time out. So they both won. At Ascot, Thunder Rock beats Solo pretty easily. I feel that Solo is a slightly disappointing horse, to be perfectly honest. And I wonder whether Thunder Rock is slightly flattered by that, because it turned into a match a long way from home. And Thunder Rock was quite impressive in the end. But I thought Boot Hill's handicap win at Ascot was stronger form. There's not, as I said, on the ratings, they're very similar. Said time form give Thunder Rock 167p. Based on that run, and Boot Hill 168p. I thought Boot Hill's run had a lot more solidity to it. And time will tell that his second, beaten 8 lengths by John Bonn and the Henry VIII, is at least as good a run. And I think it'd be hard to beat here. Again, I don't think he wants really deep grind. He went to Galway, interestingly enough, in July. And I thought Connections had almost decided that he couldn't win before that race was off, because this ground had turned very heavy. And he was never seen in contention at all, was looked after by Sean Bowen. So if it did turn into a bit of a mud bath, that would be a concern for Boot Hill, son of presenting, of course. He probably wouldn't want it really soft. But Kempton over fences doesn't tend to get as deep as the hurdles track, so it shouldn't really be that much of an issue. I wouldn't entirely rule out Orkin Risk, who's well suited by this track, over hurdles, and he's jumped well in two chase starts at Uttoxeter and Newbury, so he might end up being the biggest danger to Boot Hill, but I'll still be siding with Boot Hill. He's a horse I've got a lot of time for.
Very good. Frank Hickey, what did you like here?
Look, hopefully the 13 mils will hit. I'd be quite keen on Lack the Constance for the Skeletons. Look, beaten in two bumpers, but he's 3 from 3 over hurdles, including winning a listed race and extra, albeit, look, it wasn't as strong as a listed race at all. And Dan Skelton said, look, he was kind of mind him to be the best chaser he could be. He felt he was going to be really coming to his own once he went chasing. I thought he looked really good in chase debut, Kempton, winning over 2 miles too. Winning by 20 lengths hard held in a 3-runner novice chase. Look, it wasn't probably the best race in the world, but he couldn't do any more visually. And look, Boot Hill is very solid. And that run behind John Bond was, you know, quite good. But I think there's a bit of, you know, there's something special about this Lactic Constance. I think I just don't think he's, you know, going to be a 140 chaser. I think he's going to rate a fair bit higher. And yeah, I'd like him now. I think hopefully if he jumps the same, I think he'll serve it off the Boot Hill now. I really do.
Very good. Could be an interesting tussle in the Wayward Lad. Then onwards we go. 155 at Kempton on the 27th is the Ladbrokes. We play together Mare's Handicap Hurdle. And again, no declarations really as of yet. There's 10 in it as we record. Get a Tonic has dropped up at the top of the weights, and Sabrina has dropped up at the bottom of the weights. Frank, I'll let you take the lead here.
Yeah, I'll stick with I think it'd be a good 40 minutes for the Skeletons. Get a Tonic. Good novice hurdler last season, won 3 times. I was beaten 3 lengths by Marie's Rock at Warwick, was third to Hillcrest, with Oya Max was second at Cheltenham. Ran an absolute cracker on her reappearance in the Betfair Exchange Stairs Handicap Hurdle at the old Fixed Brush, but you know, we won't call the old Fixed Brush a Barry Orr, be on to me straight away, given out. She was second to Botox Haas off a mark of 133. I thought it was a really good effort. I think that form, you know, it generally tends to work out well, that race. And the fifth complete unknown did win on chase debut in a handicap at Foss last on Thursday, already to Frank it. It looks gone up 4 pounds to the mark of 137. But that's the strongest form on offer here by a fair way, in my opinion. I'm backing against the Mares. I think she's taken off a lot of beating. The guy priced the race Antipost, I think I put her in evens. It was as big as, I don't know, 6-4, maybe bigger. I think she's taken off a lot of beating.
Rory, would you agree or disagree?
I don't disagree. I think she has the best chance in the race. But I fancy one at a big what I hope is a big price here to at least hit the frame, if indeed she runs. There's always the difficulty with dealing with confirmations rather than decks. But Holly Hartingo is a mare who will do better this season. She was impressive on her first couple of starts. Those were around 2.5 miles, winning at Ludlow and Huntingdon. Particularly impressive on the second of those two starts. And then she was laid out for the Mayor's final at Newbury. So her third run came over 2 miles at Hereford, which is much too short for her. She was trying to give £10 to a mare called Lightdrop, who'd won 4 of her previous 5 for Henry Daly, and just got outpaced before plugging on again late in the day. She's out of a Mr. Lord mare. She's going to stay 3 miles. And the problem she had at Newbury for the mare's final, the ground ended up coming up too quick, but she was well backed for that. It was good, maybe even on the quick side of good, that day. And what we've seen from her is that her best form came on heavy last season. So the more rain, the better for Holly Hartingo. She's achieved less than most of these, but she hasn't had a chance to show what she can do. As I said, she was impressive at Huntingdon, and excuses with the trip on her next start and then with the ground at Newbury. I think she'll improve a fair bit this year. This might be a tough ask first time out. We haven't seen her since early April, but win, lose or draw, she's one to keep on side this season when getting a test of stamina. And I think you're going to get quite a big price about her here. And I will be punting her each way if she rocks up.
Excellent. 2:30 at Kempton on the 27th is the Ladbrokes Desert Orchid, and Edward Stone, the runaway winner of the Tingle Creek, looks set to reappear. New Brain Negra is in there. Henry de Bromhead has a couple, Captain Guinness and Coeur Sublime. Whether they show up or not is a different story. On ratings, Rory, they all have a bit to find.
They do. Edward Stone was a winner of a course and distance in the Wayward Lad last year and did that in a very good time as well. And he was impressive at Sandown. He came of age that day. The notion is that he you know, the softer the ground, the better for him, given that Alan King has taken him out twice this season on good ground. But he doesn't really want it hock deep. He wants you know, just proper jumping ground. Good to soft ground is ideal for him. So it'd be a marginal concern if it got very deep. But it was soft when he won last year, so he doesn't have much more to do. He is by far the likeliest winner. But I would be very interested if Coeur Sublime rocked up here. He would have won the Poplar Square at Nace on his return. He's a horse who's had his issues generally with breathing problems. He's had wind operation before. He's also moved yards a couple of times. But I thought he did well for Henry de Bromhead last season. Aside from the Arkle, where he just didn't give his running, I was disappointed. I backed him Andy Post at a big price for that. He probably didn't have enough of a race on his previous start at Gore, and it was just a bit of a it was a very slowly run race that he won easily, but probably didn't help him an awful lot in his development. But he was much better at Punchestown in the spring. You would have expected, given his previous form, that when he was joined by Blue Lord at the last, that he would have folded and been well beaten. But he actually battled really well. Clearly his breathing wasn't holding him back there, and nor was his courage. He came back at Blue Lord and went down by just ahead in the end. And it was a pretty tight finish. And as I said, he would have won on his reappearance had he stood up. Henry's won this twice before, so he's not afraid to come over for this race. And obviously he's got a couple in it. They have alternative entries at Leopardstown. But Coeur Sublime would be a very interesting horse, because I think Kempton would suit him really well. And if he came across, I might take a chance on him at the likely prices against Edwardstown.
A travelling companion for Envoy Alain, you'd imagine one of them might travel over. Frank Hickey, what do you like here?
I just wouldn't really be too keen to pause Edwardstown. He was very impressive in the Tingle Creek and, you know, proved he can mix it in open company. Yeah, look, would I be rushing to steam into my lads on? Probably not, but yeah, I wouldn't be mad keen to be out to get him on the day either, at, you know, much bigger, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, perfect sense. The final race at Kempton is that we're going to take a look at, the one that's featuring on ITV, is the 309s. The Ladbrokes Play 1-2-3 on Football Handicap Chase over 3 miles. And Rory de Largy, what do you like here?
It's a hot-looking contest. We're going to lose a few of the runners. But Jack Amar was a winner of the Novice Handicap Chase on the card last year. Slight question mark about him at 3 miles, but I would have been with them. I was with him on the podcast for the December Gold Cup at Cheltenham, but at an absolutely deep. He's 40-1, 50-1 for that. So he's going to be a big price for this as well. Kempton suits him really well, as he showed last year. That form worked out fairly well. His jumping sometimes a worry, and he is arguably best around sort of 2 mile four, 2 mile five. But he's come down the weights a long way. And if he's priced up the way he was at Cheltenham last time out, then he'd be very interesting there.
Excellent stuff. Righto, that is Kempton on the 27th on ITV, done and dusted. There is also action from Wales, as it is Welsh National Day at Chepstow. A couple of races on ITV down there. We're going to take a look at them now as well. And the first of which is the 105 at Chepstow. It's the Carl Get Closer to the Action Handicap Chase over 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. All Mankind tops the weights. A plethora of entries here. We're still waiting for declarations to come through. But Frankie Keep, what did you like?
Look, you'd always have to see what Venetia Williams has entered. She's won this 6 times in the last 10 years. She's Enzo Dairy, entered, who won here at the beginning of the month, got £6 for that. But I just can't get away from Fugitive. Richard Hobson's horses weren't running well last season. Things are much better this year. You obviously had Rise of the Storm win at Aintree. Lord McNeil finished second at Bangor in a competitive 3 mile handicap chase. The winner that day, Lemilos, went on and won at Newbury in the, isn't it the Carl Trophy now? I can't keep up with the sponsors. And the Yard have also had St. Xavier land a touch at Haydock. They are running much better. Fugitive won twice last year at Worcester and Newcastle over 2 miles off marks of 120 and 131. He was tried a grade one level in the Scilly Isles at Sandown, wasn't up to that. Was well back to his reappearance at Cheltenham off mark of 131 over 2 miles, went second to Amarillo Sky. Finished very strongly that day, suggesting a step up and trip might suit. He goes up and trip here. I think it'll definitely help him. The winner from Cheltenham, Amarillo Sky, won next time out at Newbury fairly easily to Frank that form as well. And I just think Fugitive is on a fair mark off 133, and I thought he'd run very well.
Lovely stuff, Rory. 105 at Chepstow. Any thoughts?
Fugitive would definitely be on my shortlist for this race, but I might try a related double on the card here. I thought the race that Enzo Derry won here at the early December meeting was a pretty strong contest. The third horse is disappointed since, but didn't go a yard on its next start. I quite fancy that to run well, not available. But the first two came 15 lengths clear in a slowly run race as well, both looking ahead of their marks. And I think both of them are capable of following up. They both run on this card. And as Frank's already said, Venetia Williams has a tremendous record in this race. And I thought that Enzo Derry would be hard to beat. Clearly well suited by the track. Jumped superbly the last day. Has form on heavy ground, but actually doesn't want it that deep. And the ground, unusually for Chepstow, we kind of expect it to be heavy for this meeting every year. I know there's a fair bit of rain around, but they're not getting the worst of it. So the going, you know, won't be worse than soft. And I do think that Enzo Derry off 10 stone 2 here looks very well weighted. As I said, Fugitive is a horse who looks to have a decent chance of his current mark as well, having only gone up £2 for that run behind a subsequent winner last time. And the other one that I wanted just to shortlist there was Emma Lavelle's Red Rookie. Now, I don't know if he's an intended runner here, but he should have won on chase debut this track last season. Travelled really well, but which was just given a bit too much to do. He then was sent off favourite at Ascot and fell before coming back and winning easily at Hereford in his next start. The Oracle was asking too much of him on his final outing. And again, he's a horse who will clearly stay further than 2 miles. So step up and trip should suit him on pedigree. He's been reasonably keen. So maybe it's a slight question mark. But I thought he had more to offer this season, Red Rookie. Better than his record makes him look last season, and has more to offer. But I'm more than happy to be with Enzo Derry here, who looks well-weighted off 1-2-8.
Lovely stuff. I'm also shouting at my dog in the background, if that makes you feel any better about Bogey there, acting a maggot. But anyway, we'll move on to the juvenile hurdle, the graded race. It is the 140 at Chepstow, the Carl Finale juvenile hurdle, grade 2. Rory, are we likely to see anything here announce themselves into the Triumph hurdle market?
It would be ironic if that was the case, because the Finale has been a grade 1 forever, really, and it's had its grade 1 status taken away. So if we did see a Triumph hurdle winner come out of this race, then it would be justification for the track. But it looks a really interesting contest. You've got the likes of Comfort Zone, Perseus Way, Scriptwriter, and Dixon Cove, who all have achieved a very similar useful level of ability. I would probably favour Perseus Way, although I don't know whether Comfort Zone is likely to come over for Joseph O'Brien. But Perseus Way did very well in his debut at Cheltenham, given he started off in a grade 2 on his hurdles debut. He didn't jump terribly well that day, but ran very well to finish second. And then had a confidence booster when bolting up at Leicester last time. I didn't need to improve on what he'd done on debut, but I think he probably will. He was behind Scriptwriter, obviously, on debut, but he'd be getting £5 on Scriptwriter here. And he seems to, you know, the chances are that he will improve a fair bit for that. So he would just be the pick for me. But it's a race which should be enlightening. We should get a little bit of clarity on which of these is going to turn into a potential Triumph horse. Perseus Way would be the pick for me, but I'm not sure I'd be punting about the prices that we're liable to see in the race.
Well, a man who's constantly on the path to enlightenment is Frank Hickey. Frank, what do you like in this juvenile hurdle at Chepstow?
Yeah, like comfort zone hasn't been declared for the race at Leopardstown, so there must be a, you know, better than average chance that he will line up here. If he does line up here, I'd be with him. I think, as I said earlier, I don't think the race was run to suit at Fairy House. I think he wants a thorough examination of stamina. He didn't get that at Fairy House. I thought it was very good in his hurdles debut at Navan just a week previous to that. It was very strong at the finish. And it was a fair effort at Fairy House too, considering it was just a week after his hurdles debut. If he runs here, he's the one to beat. And I think I still wouldn't discount him being a triumph contender despite that defeat at Fairy House. I think he's pretty good. If he doesn't turn up, I agree with Rory, I'd definitely be on the side of Percy's Way. He was extremely weak at Cheltenham on his hurdles debut. I think he was about 5 or 6 to 1 the day before. He's gone off 25 to 1, ran a cracker to finish second. Even if he was meeting scriptwriter on the same terms as Cheltenham, I'd fancy him to reverse. So if he's getting the £5 that scriptwriter has to carry as a penalty, I definitely side with him. So basically, if comfort zone runs, I'd be all over him. If not, Percy's Way is the one to beat.
Keeping it simple. Lovely stuff. Onwards we go. 210 at Chepstow is the Carlow Racing Club Handicap Hurdle. Holstone tops the weights and still plenty of runners. The wheat very much to be separated from the chaff to see in terms of what runs here. Rory, any views at the moment?
Not a particularly strong view. It would be price dependent, but last year's winner, Bells of Peterborough, is way down the handicap here and normally competes at a slightly lower level than this, but gets in here off 10-6. And Tim Vaughan's horses running very well. Now, Tim's not had the happiest of times, really, since he burst on the scene. When he arrived first, his horses all looked super fit. They were winning at a good strike rate, and everyone said this guy is going to carry all before him. And it's been a struggle for Tim in the last 4 or 5 years. But his horses are running well at the moment. He had a winner in these colours at Fosse Lass, a very easy winner in these colours at Fosse Lass yesterday, Colonial Empire. And it was an ordinary race, but he absolutely bolted up, having been punted into 6-4. Weaver's Answer in the same card was a good second at a price. And a few others have been running very well from the stable. So I've got no issue backing one of Tim's at the moment. And of course, as I said, Bells of Peterborough won this race last year off a bigger weight in what was a weaker race, in fairness. He carried 10-9 that day to beat Kitson, who's also in the race again. But he won by 22 lengths off a mark of 120. He's only £3 higher this time around. And because there are some sexy-looking horses in this race, you might get a reasonably big price about Bells of Peterborough, but he's very consistent. He's been running over fences of late, but dropping back to hurdles will not be a bother to him. And I could see him running really well. Again, he doesn't need very deep ground either to show his form. So I think he runs his race, and I don't think he's got much to find off his current mark. So if you're getting double-figure prices about Bells of Peterborough, he should reward each-way support.
A compelling case for Bells of Peterborough. Frank, did you have any thoughts?
Yeah, look, it might be a big afternoon for Ben Clark. My one worry with the Chepstow ground is, with Chepstow in general, is you kind of be looking at it assuming you're going to get soft ground. I just checked there and it's good to soft good in places as of a couple of hours ago. And there is some rain forecast, but not as much as was forecast earlier in the week. And while you would have been looking at this thinking, oh, you're guaranteed to get soft ground, I'm not certain now. But Just a Dime, he won 2 point-to-points, won his hurdles debut at Exeter in March over 3 miles, beat Flemintide and Treelawn. Treelawn won a handicap off 124 last month, is now rated 130. Just a Dime was getting £7 off both on that day, but the run still makes his opening handicap mark of 119 look lenient. He was second in his reappearance at Carlisle over a trip of just shy of 2.5 miles, where he shaped like the run was needed. Said his handicap debut of 119, and he would look well handicapped now going back up to 3 miles. So I think he's one that I think has been let in lightly by the handicapper.
Very good. 250 at Chepstow is the centrepiece of the day at the Welsh Track on the 27th of December. It is the Carl Welsh Grand National. Quick Wave is currently at the top of the market. Frank, but you'd have a better insight into that than I would. How is this going to shape up in terms of a betting race? It's always a great kind of punting race, even if you're kind of wherever in Leopardstown, a lot of people gather around the screens to nearly get as big a crowd as the King George, the Welsh National, does.
Yeah, it's, as I said, I think the weather will have a bit of a bearing on it. Look, obviously, I put up the Galloping Bear for this race back, again, I can't remember, was it October, September, on the assumption you'd be looking at soft ground at the very best. If it came up good ground, it would be a concern for him. I think if it is soft ground, I think he'd be very hard to beat. And I think he'd be very well punted. Like, you go back to the Grand National trial in Haylock. He was very well punted that day and ended up way off favourite. And he showed, you know, how much of a dour stare he is outstaying Bristol Demoy on a heavy ground over 3.5 miles, albeit Bristol Demoy was conceding a lot of weight. But because the Galloping Bear was subsequently disqualified, he gets to run off the same mark here. So I think, like, genuinely, my feeling of the race was all he needs is the ground to come in his favour. I think he'd be very hard to beat. Now, it would worry me if the ground is good. There might even be a chance they mightn't run him if the ground is good. I'd be absolutely heartbroken if that's the case. I think he'll take an awful lot of beating. But yeah, it would just temper my enthusiasm a little bit. I would have been fairly sure he was going to win on soft ground. So yeah, it's just knocked me a little bit that the rain hasn't hit and the ground's better than I would like it to be.
Rory Delargy, Welsh National views?
Very, very similar, I have to say. I'm a fan of the Ben Clark, Ben Jones axis. And I backed one of his earlier in the week. I'm trying to get my head around whether he needs the ground really deep or whether he just needs a proper stamina test. He won a 100 chase on ground on the soft side of good at Carlisle last year. And to be honest, that was a pretty, you know, for a horse of his experience, that was a pretty good effort. So I think there's a fair chance that what he really needs is a test of stamina rather than just hook deep ground. And you can't deny that he looks very well treated here, off the same mark as when winning that Grand National trial. That's the bonus of being disqualified, is that, you know, he should be 10 pounds higher and he's not. And that makes him look very interesting. And I don't think it's the strongest running of the Welsh National I've seen. The other one I tend to throw in, Lord de Menil would have been interesting on genuinely soft ground, but he does need it soft or heavy. He very much caught the eye when second, not at all knocked it by behind Lumilos at Bangor. And clearly that form has worked out very well. And he's only a pound higher for it. So it looked like he'd been laid out for this. And again, you're talking about the Richard Hobson yard again that has done better this season than last, when a lot of the horses weren't right, and he was very open about that. If it had turned out heavy, he even with a big weight, would have had a decent chance. One who doesn't need deep ground and stays all day, who might be worth an interest at a big price, but he would need to be 50-1 or bigger, I think, which is a fair chance of getting that, is Cyclop for David Dennis, right down towards the bottom of the waistline, a 10-stone-5, an 11-year-old now, but he's got a very good record in staying events around this time of the year. He tends to lose his form in the spring, but his form in December and January is very good. He won the Highland National at Perth in the spring last year, and he's run very well in his last two starts in sort of regional nationals. He was third in the Southern National, running on well at the end there when they missed fences out, which wouldn't have suited him. And then he was third again in the Borders National last time out. He did make a mistake or two there, but he saw the 4 miles out very well on that occasion. He's thoroughly exposed. He's clearly not getting any better at the age of 11, but he does have conditions in his favour. He can race prominently, which is really important at Chepstow on goodish ground. When the ground is very soft at Chepstow, stamina tends to come to the fore, but it's a track where you can't afford to give up much ground when the going's goodish. So if it doesn't soften up too much, the fact that he tends to race prominently should be a bonus. The downside to him is, of course, that he lacks the class of a few of these, and they might just take him off his feet and get him making mistakes. But if he jumps soundly and can lie up with him, he will just keep plugging on. He won't win the race. It'd be a massive surprise if he did that. But, you know, given his record over this sort of trip, I could see him just keep plugging on and finishing fourth or fifth, which would get you a good return on your each way investment. And as I said, he's almost certain to be 50 to 1 or bigger.
Excellent stuff. That is ITB covered. We're going to rattle through some of the Irish action on the 27th and the 28th and 29th very quickly and get a few thoughts from the lads on anything they like elsewhere. Lads, we're under a little bit of time pressure, so we'll keep it swift where we can. Leopardstown Frank on the 27th, obviously Paddy Power sponsored card. Features include two grade ones, the Paddy's Road Club Chase and the Future Champions Novice Hurdle, as well as the big Paddy Power Chase. Anything that you're liking on that Leopardstown card?
Yeah, just the 12.05. It'd be interesting to see Goody Two Shoes if she takes her chance here. She's two from three on the flat. She's rating 95. If she can make up into a nice juvenile hurdler, I don't really have an opinion at this stage in the Paddy's War Club Chase. Look, we just want to watch Vasil Vega. Soon he'll bolt up again. And I would look, I've been very keen on Panda Boy for the Paddy Power Chase for a long time, and it's come together nicely. I was thinking back in our national hunt preview that the fact he wouldn't chase debut at Punchestown, then maybe run him in a couple of graded races over an insufficient trip to get a handicap mark. And that's exactly what they've done. I wouldn't really be, you know, looking too critically at that form. I think he was just out to get his mark. He's won the Pretence handicap qualifier here on the card last year off a mark of 128. He's £8 higher over fences. But I thought his win at Punchestown over 3 miles the end of May on his chasing debut was really nice. 1 by 9 lengths. The likes of Evergo, Tully Beg, and Dunboyne behind. Look, it wasn't unbelievably deep, but for the time of year, it was a decent beginner's chase. I think he's just been lined up for it. He's only six. He's improving. I think he's got a really good, look, he's got a favourites chance. He's been well backed, and I've seen a couple of, you know, the big tipsters putting him up there in the last few days as well. So it's contracted the price again, but he's definitely the one to beat. Over in Limerick, I just give a mention, the grade two, 2 mile, 7 furlong novices hurdle, Kalanisi Star, 5-year-old point winner, went to Alvin McKiernan for $65,000, bolted up in a 2 mile, 2 Goran Park bumper on rules debut in March. 16 length second that day was Monbeg Park, who's won over hurdles. It's probably going to get a mark in the mid-130s. Kalanisi Star was dropped 2 miles for hurdles debut, but won nicely from Pink in the Park at Goran. Was really strong on the finish. Shaped like he'd appreciate further. The fourth Connor Cottage came out and won its next start to Frank that form. Takes a big step up in trim, but I think that'll actually suit him. And he might just be a small bit of value. Like, look, he's not going to be missed by the market either, but at the same time, Oliver McKiernan mightn't be the most fashionable, but this is a horse with plenty of ability. And yeah, I like him now. And over at Weatherby, just one last one, 135, 2 mile, 3 novices, handicap chase, Bass Rock. Very impressive on chase debut, Carlisle over 2 miles. Even if you do think the race fell apart a bit with Richmond Lake underperforming and Soaring Glory underperforming, being pulled up. Bass Rock won really nicely. I really liked the way he jumped. He won his last start over hurdles in April off the mark of 130. He'd ran some good races last year. He was third in the old fixed brush hurdle. Haydock shaped really nicely that day. Didn't really see out the trip, I thought. He's only six, and I think he could develop into a really nice chase. He runs here off the mark of 139, and I think he'll end up a bit better than that.
Rory De Largy, anything on the Paddy Power card on the 27th at Leopardstown or elsewhere that you like?
The one I looked at in the Paddy Power was Western Zara, who I thought was... There's a slight question mark in that all her form is right-handed. But there's nothing in looking at her racing to suggest that she needs to go that way around. Paul Nolan is always a trainer to watch for. Richie Deegan is booked to ride Western Zara, and I thought she ran very well over 3 mile 5 last time out in the Porterstown handicap chase. She's effective at shorter as well. This will become a bit of a test of stamina in the end, but you also need to be able to be effective a little bit shorter. She needed the run in that Mare's Listed chase that at Clonmel on her return, but she was back to her best form in the Porterstown last time out. Off the same mark here, I can see her stepping forward again, and I thought she was quite interesting.
Lovely stuff. Grade one action across the 28th and 29th at Leopardstown. Frank, Christmas hurdle at Leopardstown on the 28th is run this year in the memory of Jack de Bromhead. We've got the Savills Chase as well, the 29th, the Neville's Hotels, Novice Chase, and the Matheson Hurdle. Anything catching your eye in some of those bigger races across the 28th and 29th?
Nothing really on the 29th at this stage. 28th, there's a few I'd keep my eye on. The 12:35, 2.5 mile handicap hurdle, changing the rules if he takes his chance. Thought it was an eye catching enough run at Navan on his handicap debut, went fifth, not beaten far, just a little over 3 lengths, over 2 miles. That trip probably a little bit sharp enough for him. Went off co-fav for a maiden hurdle at Fairy House last time, back up to 2.5 miles trip, back into handicap company. I'm convinced he's better in America of 116. If he takes his chance, it'd be interesting in him. The Pretence Network qualifier handicap hurdle at 110, very interesting race. Look, Winter Fog and Maxim, they're the obvious ones here. They're in the top of the market. This is a race that smaller trainers have a really good record in it. And I just think if Max Flamengo took his chance, he'd be half interesting here. I'm not saying he's going to shorten up from his price. I think he's about 20-1. I don't think he'll shorten up from that sort of price. But just when you look at his form over fences, he was 7th in the Irish National off a mark of 144. He was 4th in the Grade 1 Neville's Hotel Novices Chase last year on the card. He did win his maiden hurdle here in March 2021. He won a handicap over hurdles at Fairy House in April 2021 off a mark of 120, and was an excellent 4th at the Punchdown Festival over 3 miles. Off 127. That was the day Capitano won. If he takes a chance here, he'd be running off a mark of 127. And he'd be half interesting now for a smaller yard. Just when you look at his chase mark and his decent Leopardstown form. Then on to the Grade 1, the Jack de Bromhead Christmas Hurdle. I just think Florian Porter's the one to beat. I'm not convinced Bob Andrews is the three-miler. I said it. I think... he's more of a turn of foot horse than an out-and-out stayer, and I wouldn't be a fan of him at this trip. Cascade Dream, then, on the other hand, he seems to be best fresh, ran a cracker at Fairy House when touched off by Tehupu. But I think Florian Porter is the one to beat. Look, he was second this last year, won it the previous year. Obviously, last year, Cascade Dream got a bit of a head start at the beginning. Look, Florian Porter had every chance to win, but he didn't really put it all in. But we know when he's on his game, he's hard to beat. And I'll stick with Florian Porter. And the Savills Chase at 220. There's question marks about everything here. And I'd only take a chance in Fury Road, just the prices. He won the Neville's Novices Chase on the card last year. He was second in ancient behind the High Senor. Obviously, he'd Brave Man's Game and Lon Presse behind. Look, they probably underperformed, to be fair. And he was no more than fair third at Punchdown. I did like his win up at Down Royal over 2 miles. Like, I think it was 2 miles, 2.5 miles, 2 miles, 3. I can't remember. We touched off Delvino. I should have got asked you that day. And just the prices, considering one, the Grade 1 Novice last year with question marks about everything, I'd take a flyer on him at a price.
Lovely stuff. Roy Jalargy, 28th, 29th, same question. Anything standing out at this stage?
I'll give you a very left field one. At Leicester, on the 28th, a horse you couldn't back on this season's form, but I think will be lined up, mainly because the yard tends to target this meeting, and I missed a good price winner last year, so I've decided not to to make sure that I checked what runners are coming from the Tony Carroll yard at Leicester. He has just one runner on the card in the Silver Fox handicap chase, and that horse is Nelson River, who is well handicapped on last season's form. When he won on soft ground over course and distance in February in pretty good company, and was then placed here off a mark of 133 on his next start. Two runs this season have been poor, but this is a very shrewd trainer. Tony Carroll has been in the business a long time, and he used to ride for shrewd trainers when he was a jockey back in the day when I was a lad. And I think Nelson River will show his old form here. And if he does, he's very, very well handicapped. But because his form figures this season are pulled up and tailed off in two runs, I think you might get a big early price about him. And I would I'd advise you to take that. Robbie Dunn booked to ride him already. Not many jockey bookings at that meeting so far. But the fact that Tony's got a jockey for this horse suggests that this has been a plan Nelson River, I hope, will come back to his best form and win at a good price.
Lovely stuff. Last word from both of you. One name I want. I've got your best bet for the 26th. I want your best bet for the rest of the festive period, 27th, 28th, 29th. One horse, one name, Frank Hickey.
I would have said the Galloping Bear on soft ground, but I'll stick with it in the hope the rain comes. The Galloping Bear in the Welsh National.
Rory?
I'll go Enzo Derry in the opener there. And sorry, the other one I should mention in that card, I said that he beat a horse of Tim Vaughan's called Dalamois last time out, and Dalamois also runs in that Chepstow card. So I'm not sure if I mentioned his name or not, but he's one to include as well.
Lovely stuff. And so concludes our look ahead at the festive racing. Audio gold, I would call that. Audio gold. Bottle it up and hang it in the Louvre or something like that. The audio equivalent. Don't know. It's been a long day. Anyway, here we go. That's it. That's all we've got time for on this edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. A couple of little bits to tidy up. Don't forget that race and quiz featuring Frank Hickey, Fran Berry and others is available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube. The link is in the show notes. And once again, another gentle reminder that the Paddy's Pick 5 is worth 100 grand on St. Stephen's Day with 10 grand bonus rounds on the 27th, 28th and 29th. So make sure you get involved with that. Again, details on paddypower.com. But for now, my thanks and very happy Christmas to Rory DeLargue and Frank Hickey. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Same to you.
Happy returns.
Here's hoping that you've put a few winners together for us. And I've been Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. Good luck.